first of all, I'd like to welcome everybody and say that we're thrilled to announce John Fox as the 14th head coach of the Denver Broncos. Before I do that, I'd like to talk about the list of candidates that we did have that showed their interest in the Denver Broncos: Dirk Koetter, Rick Dennison, Eric Studisville, and Perry Fuel, and thank them for their time and interest in the Denver Broncos. They came in here and all did a great job in the interview process that we had with them, and I believe that eventually they'll all be head coaches in the NFL, but we really appreciate the time that they spent. We're excited. We really feel like we got our guy. John Fox came in, and if you look at his background, his defensive background, who he's worked with, his success, we're really thrilled. I mean, he's a dynamic leader, a guy that has energy, and a guy that gets the most out of his players. We did so much research on all the candidates, and there was nothing that came back on John Fox that was negative in any way, whether it be from a player's standpoint or a coach's standpoint or general manager's. And so he filled the bill there and everything that we thought he was when we came in, and we started talking to him. So he is a guy that – and the thing I think most of all that I got out of the – really probably the 15 hours that we spent with John in the interview process for 7 hours and had some dinner and then kind of reconvened in the morning and talked some more was his football wisdom. He has great football wisdom that I think is a combination of being a lot of different places, but coaching under great coaches, but also experience. And I think that comes out when you talk to John Fox. And it's that mixture of everything. And then you talk about his ability to get the most out of the players. And I got several texts from a lot of his players about how much his players like him and how hard they play for him, which is something that we really need here. And I think that when you combine that and you combine the energy that he brings into the room when he walks into the room and the energy that we need in this building as well as in this community about the Denver Broncos, we couldn't have found a better fit. So I'm thrilled to announce John as our next head coach. And before I do that, though, I'm going to turn it over to the man, Mr. Bolin.
Well, I also spent some time with John, and not as much as John Elway. And he has some unique qualities that really gave me a lot of confidence. I think he can come in here and turn this organization around. I don't have any doubt about it. He's going to have all the help I can give him. And I'm looking forward to getting the season started and letting John do his job. Thank you.
Well, tell me when you're taking the pictures.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Mr. Bolin. All right. Thanks, Tom.
You got it.
Well, those two guys are a big reason why I'm standing here. And I want to tell you that I'm honored, privileged to be standing here in front of you as your head football coach of the Denver Broncos. This is an organization that I've admired from afar, as close to even as division rivals. I think all you have to do is walk through that front foyer and see the class, all right, and the storied franchise the Denver Broncos are. I think you've got a great fan base here. It's a very tough place to play. Unfortunately, I've been on the wrong side of some of those experiences, whether it be in Invesco or Mile High. But I want you to know that I'm very enthusiastic, very excited to bring back that fan interest in the winning ways. And let's be serious, this game's only fun when you win, and that's going to be my job. So I'm proud to stand here in front of you. I'm excited to be a part of this community and this organization. I think it's class, and that starts at the top with Mr. Bolin. Just having been a head coach for 9 years, I've had the opportunity to be with ownerships or different ownerships at the league meetings. And I can tell you that There's probably no guy held in higher regard than Mr. Pat Bowlen. He's committed to winning here. I think his success speaks for itself. I'm here to try to add another ring and trophy to that foyer. Any questions? Let's get right to it. I have all the respect for Champ Bailey. I think one of the things, the messages that I send is respect to players. There's no question that Champ Bailey's a terrific, great football player. You just look at the regard he's held in by his teammates, and general managers around the league. I think right now, at this point in the process, it's a little bit hard. We do have a pretty fluid schedule moving forward with some of the CBA things that, I know my former employer and Mr. Bowlen are on that committee. Those are things that we will do everything we can to get the best human talent on the field, and that's just going to make our job easier. I think right now it's too early to say, other than he's held with great respect both in the community of Denver and by the Denver Broncos. Tim Tebow, I had the great privilege to meet with Tim Tebow during the draft process. Actually had dinner with him with my offensive coordinator at the time and my quarterback coach at the time in Gainesville. Had a great connection. Tim came by yesterday. I think that's legal to say. I think it is up till now. I had a great talk with him, and he's real excited. I think as a player, I have had a chance to view some tape, obviously, towards the end of the season of the Bronco tape. I think he's got work to do. He knows it. But one thing I'll say is he'll do whatever it takes. That was one of the things I saw in the interview process. He's got as good of intangibles as any athlete I've ever been around in a short visit. So I think nothing but upside is going to occur for him moving forward. No, I'm only prejudiced to really good football players, whether they're rookies, two-year guys, or 12-year guys. I was wishing I could get him back out of retirement, but him being John Elway, thank God he's on my team now. I had to see him too many times as an opponent. I don't think that really matters. I think you put the best 11 out there on the field. When I stand in front of this team and talk to them, it doesn't matter whether you're a rookie or a four-year guy. You're going to have to, be accountable and dependable regardless of your experience. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm very, very proud and excited. Plans for the defense. Right now, we're in the process of putting together a staff. I can't go into too much detail on that because right now it's fairly fluid. Feel good about it. Feel good about some of the candidates. When we, get that nailed down, you guys will be the first to know. But during the process, it's a little bit too early to say. I think there's no doubt that there's some work to be done on the defense. I think we were in the bottom third of the league statistically. That needs to be addressed both from a personnel standpoint and a scheme standpoint. And we're embarking on that now. I'd like to forget that last one, but go ahead. Well, actually, during the process, and I'd like to thank, Joe Ellis, Greek, Steve was there along with Brian Zanders and John Elway and Mr. Bowlen. So they asked the same thing. And, I did have options, but I'm extremely competitive. That's probably all the more reason why I'm here today. I want to jump back in and erase that. Been no different if I was the head coach here and we finished with that same record. I'd be just as enthusiastic to get it back rolling again. Say again. I'll keep you posted on that. That might affect us a little bit, you think? All right. Yes, sir.
You're a 4-3 guy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the Broncos will be?
Well, I think really even that. I think one of the things about being a coach is utilizing your talent to the best of their abilities. There's no doubt that right now the Broncos defense has been structured to a 3-4. You know, I've been doing this a long time, had 3-4 backgrounds far back in 1989 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, that's something that'll be fluid going forward, too, because regardless of the spacing and the terminology of the positions, whether it be nose tackle, you know, weak inside linebacker, weak outside linebacker, you're still got the spacings. Everybody utilizes pretty much all the same spacings, and you can get to that either through the 4-3 or the 3-4. So I think right now we're just going to be looking to upgrade the talent level, whether that be through pro personnel or the college draft. We'll use all avenues to do that. And I think at that point you can work that out. So it's that's not as glaring of a thing moving forward as just finding the right people. No, I think, you know, we're obviously in the process. We're pretty far along in the process, but I think it's a little bit premature to start announcements at this point. Most definitely. I think there was a lot of fine coaches. There's been a lot of great interest from around the National Football League. You know, the process there is they have a team official fax. And so we've had a lot of interest in the staff here. And so there are some good coaches here. And we're going to be very competitive to keep them here. Yes, I have. You know, he's got other options, just like we have other options. Mike's a guy that spent 7 years with me prior to even coming to the Broncos, so I might even know him better than the people here in the Broncos organization. I definitely hold him in high regard, and he's definitely in consideration.
Are you sure the new situation is similar to the one you took over in Carolina?
I'm sorry, I was... Yeah, I do. There's some remarkable likenesses. Second pick in the draft, coming off of 1-15. You know, I think, you know, breathing energy back into an organization. I think, you know, getting them back to some of the things that they're used to, and particularly here, being a storied franchise as the Broncos are. So there's a lot of similarities. It's not going to make the job any harder or any easier. They're all hard. This is a very competitive business. I'm real excited to move forward on it, though.
Hold on. One day you said that you wanted to see if you were as much a good fit as it was a mesh. You know, what makes this a good fit for you and Walter?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, vision. First of all, philosophy. The commitment to winning football games. I think Mr. Boland's record speaks for itself. You know, and just whether you share the same vision and you have the same mesh. You know, like any job, it's not important. Obviously, it's important to have a job, but it's having the right job. And I was very fortunate in the first time that I did this procedure and had a very good run. All the good things come to an end. And felt similarly there as far as that vision and that mesh. And I feel like it's a great mesh here. And that was something I think in the interview process that, you know, the powers to be were looking for, and of course myself was looking for. And I didn't know everybody from an NFL executive standpoint. Obviously, I told you from afar, I'd always respected, you know, the class and the organization that Mr. Boland ran. I, of course, competed against John many times as a player, but he has great energy. He has great wisdom as far as it comes from football. He might not have sat in that chair a lot, but he's got a lot of great experiences, and they relate very closely to this. You don't stand in an NFL huddle and lead offensive players for the number of years he did and not get it. So I think it was just a good fit. I felt really good. Brian Zanders, I think, is a very sharp guy. I knew him back in Atlanta. You know, so you got smart, you know, really good human talent, and now it's just motivating everybody to be the best or even better than they think they can be.
How tangled a web is it since you've been through these rebuilding phases?
how deep are the problems right now as you see it?
I don't see it unfixable at all. If it looked too dire, I don't know that I'd be standing here. So I'm real excited. I think offensively we're further ahead at this point. I think we're going to work to get a little bit more balance. I think that helps your defense. There's no question defensively that we need to be more disruptive and create more turnovers. Turnovers, what I call layups, meaning that you set your offense up to score points, and this game's all about who has the most points at the end. It's not rocket science, but there are really concepts that you have to build. You have to make your team understand what those concepts are and educate them, and then work really, really hard and enthusiastically to make them come true. Well, I think there's no question that that's going to be the same question in our 31 other opponents, too. So we've got a plan. Whether a lockout or not a lockout occurs, I think everybody hopes that something will happen. I'm sure the fans, I know the leaders of the organizations all would like that to happen. But you got to be prepared for either one. So that'll be taken into consideration as we move forward, whether it's an offensive notebook, a defensive notebook, or even a kicking game notebook.
This team has a lot of wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Not so many quality
running backs. How does that fit with your vision? Well, I think, all the way back to 2003, if you're going to be successful running the ball, I think Knowshon Moreno has proven that he's a very capable guy in this league. He's obviously a very talented guy. There's other people on the roster that could fit that second running back mold. And then again, there's some people in the talent pool that will. So those things, what's exciting is you get to, change and adjust and recruit and all the fun things that are part of this competitive thing called the National Football League. Well, let me just say this. I sat in front of these things for a little bit, and I get criticized sometimes about 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But, again, as I mentioned earlier, this is about utilizing your personnel to best to your ability to help win football games. I think being a defensive coach for most of my career, you understand what's difficult to defend. And sorting out between the difference between run and pass is probably the hardest part of playing defense. So you see a lot of teams that have success, and I could go through the list offensively. You've got to be able to do both. You don't want to be one-dimensional. So I don't want to sit here and try to paint a picture that we're going to be not exciting, not innovative, not creative. But you do have to have balance. And if you look historically, that's a formula that's proven worthy in a National Football League. Time out. All right. What? Go ahead. Well, definitely be a part of our offense. I think that'd be true of all the other 31 teams. You have to have a variety of things. You need gap schemes for people to play gap defenses, and you need zone schemes that people to play two gaps. So those are all areas that you customize per opponent. One of the things that's most exciting about this is, how different each matchup is each week, and what a different differences of each opponent in the way you attack them, whether it be physical mismatches or scheme mismatches, but it'll be both if that wasn't too complicated.
Coach, how much input will you have on drafts, free agents, trades? What has John told you, and what do you?
Well, that was one of the things that when you talk about a fit, and I can just tell you now, my leadership style is not one of dictatorship. I like people to feel more like they're working with me than for me. I think that's shared by all the people that are sitting up here or even out there. That everybody have a voice. I think people will work extremely hard as long as they think they can be heard. I don't think one person's going to dictate what's going to happen. I think personally that's the best way. in talking with John and Brian in the football side. You know, you make decisions, you get all the input, and you walk out arm in arm with the decision. And I think this game's hard enough when you don't have that unity, whether you're a player sitting in one of those chairs on Monday morning preparing for a game, or whether you're upper management and decision makers, you know, making personnel decisions.
Mm-hmm. But as a quarterback,
right,
as a guy who can actually play the position, how far away do you think this guy is?
Well, I think those intangibles make that progress accelerate. And that's the thing I was most impressed about him. Let's be honest, he played in a spread offense. It's a little bit more popular in college football. There is an art and a technique and a feel for being under center. I don't know how many of y'all have done that before, but it's not quite as easy as it looks. I think, you know, the rhythm and timing, because you are passing the ball, not just throwing it. You're passing it, which means you're doing it with relative accuracy. And that timing takes a minute. The thing that's impressive about Tim Tebow is he's not afraid to be great. And he'll do everything humanly possible to make that accelerate. And that's the thing that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't surprise me.
Were you wowed by him?
I was very impressed by him. I'm not sure what wowed is, but I was very, very impressed. I can tell you, I don't think he'd mind me sharing this, but in 30-plus years of coaching, I've taken many a free agent, projected free agent, college recruit. There's part of the process is eating meals, and typically they're very expensive restaurants, very nice restaurants, because that's what you're trying to sell. But in all my experiences, he's the only guy that, unbeknownst, very quietly, of course he had a little juice there in Gainesville, gave the waiter his credit card and was going to pay for the meal. And I actually had to make the guy recharge it to do it. So it wasn't false. It wasn't any of that. And you know, that impressed me.
You've obviously been going to answer a lot of questions about defense, because that's mm-hmm. interesting. But you've been called a lot of things offensively.
I've been called a lot of things, but no, go ahead.
How would you fairly describe yourself as an offensive coach and
I'll go back to the word, and it's balance. You know, I think really the essence of football is the toughness and physicalness it takes to block and tackle. I learned that from Chuck Knoll, you know, 20 years ago. And I don't think that's ever going to change. Now, that doesn't mean that's all you do all the time. You have to be able to do both. Coaches are too smart in this league if you're one-dimensional. And it becomes difficult to execute when you're one-dimensional. So there's a core concept that I believe in, and that is the physical and mental toughness it takes to do this under pressure, under a lot of scrutiny. That's kind of my core beliefs. And I'm not sidestepping your answer. I'm kind of just telling you how I see it.
John, there's a whole list of things that the Broncos need to fix. Mm-hmm. Reconnecting with the fans to, you know, the defense, et cetera. There's a long list. But as you look, what are the things here that are
Well, I think somebody mentioned earlier wide receivers. This may be as good a core as I'm familiar with. I'm not going to put a number ranking, but a very good core of both experienced and youth at the receiver position. I think there's a very young core of offensive linemen that learned and got better a year ago. You know, I think there's, you know, the quarterback situation here, I can flat tell you, is better than the one some of the ones, I don't want to be too specific, that I've been at. I think, you know, there's plenty to work with. Again, until you get out there, or until I get out there, my staff gets out there and works with them and watches them by the naked eye, it's too hard right now for me to say, but just statistically, this offense finished 13th in the league, 7th passing, 26th rushing. I'd like to see that more balanced, but it does tell you in a 32-team league that that's above average. So that's a good starting point. and still able to infuse talent into that offense.
And aside from the roster, what was attractive about Broncos' job to you?
Well, as I said before, you know, it's a storied organization. I mean, Mr. Bolin has had great success here. There aren't 4 years you walk into in every NFL league city that look like that. And he's had that commitment and done that with class and success as well as anybody in this league. So that's a pretty good team to jump on. Well, I mean, that's a fine line, and I understand where you're coming from. We'll look at all aspects in the evaluation process. We obviously want people that are going to make the Denver Broncos fans and organization proud. This game is a combative game. Not everybody is like, you know, everybody you pass on the freeway. So there is a fine line there. I think, you know, you're dealing with young people. They make mistakes. Of course, I wasn't one of them. I was pretty much perfect. But, you know, so there's a lot of things you look at, a lot of time and money spent in the evaluation process. You know, I can't say we'd never do this. We'll always do that because you're dealing with human talent. And it's never all the same. I think, you know, I'm not educated enough at this point to really comment on him specifically.
Don, what's the murkiness of the offseason here? What is your schedule as far as meeting with the players here?
Well, I've already had the opportunity to run into some of them. You know, this is their off time, good, bad, or indifferent. They just went through a pretty grueling season, and any National Football League season is grueling. So there's guys in there that are doing rehab, you know, in the training room. There's guys doing a little bit of workout. Like I said, Tim Tebow came by yesterday. That wasn't by design. It was, you know, guys come passing through. It's, you know, it's a pretty stagnant time right now because even as a coach, you tell them to get away, you know, rest their mind. I always say your mind's the most important muscle in your body. Once that shuts down, it all shuts down. So it's good right now that they're away. I can speak more to about how as a staff and as an organization we're going to work, but there's a little fluidity to it right now once March 3rd hits, and we've got a plan either way, so that's kind of where it is right now. I don't know that I'll have a team meeting just because I respect their time off. Right.
They've gone through this process. Do you welcome coming into an organization that's this open with the moves they're making and what they're doing as opposed to plenty of other places that treat the NFL like it's a Pentagon?
Well, I think one of the things that I think make this a good fit is a personality. It's not a certain way. It's not exact. You know, I think there is a time to pull it in. I can't say that you won't ever think that of me or our organization. But I think all in all, I look at you guys, I look at our fans as partners. And if it's going to be the best thing in the Denver Broncos' interest, we'll be open and it's friendly and I'll grasp everybody out here. You know, it's kind of my nature. I'm not smart enough to be anybody else, and this is just kind of the way I am. So I know you guys have jobs to do and girls. I know the fans are interested. They're the ones that pay our bills, and I look at them as partners. So I don't have an etched way that I've learned and believe it's the only way. I don't care if that's a technique by a defensive tackle or dealing with the community and media. I'm looking for great teachers and communicators and people that can relate to people, people that can motivate people, have great aspirations, whether it be a head coach, a coordinator, people that share our vision. And I've been blessed to be in this league for 20 plus years. And that helps because you have contacts. You know, a guy like John Elway, Brian Zanders, everybody in the organization, you know, you're collecting information. So, you know, I'm looking for the, as I said before, the best human talent available, and that means coaches too. It's going very well.
How deep into the process have you gotten?
Well, I think, you know, it's going well. We've worked pretty hard. I have to run by myself. I've only been here a couple of days. Feels like a couple of weeks. But it's coming along nice, and I think at which point when we visit as an organization, I think it's a lot easier and more efficient that we'll just announce to staff, you know, when it gets a little more solid. You know, I competed against him, you know, when he was with the Bears. You know, I think he's a guy that's smart. I think he has some of the tools it takes to play quarterback. You know, he's been good with the ball. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things that he does well. You know, 2 years ago, you guys started 6-0. So, I mean, it's there, you know, until I actually see it and witness it and work with him. I have a lot of respect for what he's done and the player he is.
To what extent,
Matt,
with your expertise, coach up the defense, and to what extent are you dependent on?
Well, you know, I think over the years, I've had some more talented teams than others. I think in time, in a 9-year span, we had more takeaways than all but one team in the National Football League, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think there's a style of defense that I have a firm belief in, whether it's 3-4 or 4-3, I'm not as hung up on that. My whole thing is I've been proud of some of the guys I've gotten to make better than they thought they could be, and we've always been statistically pretty solid. No, I think, you know, when you're in a defensive room or offensive room, sometimes that can circumvent some authority. But when you're upstairs and you're game planning and you're dissecting the opponent, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, I can tell you I've always been involved and always will be. So I'm kind of a little bit into all of it just because my job as a head coach on game day is to manage the game. And without that thorough knowledge in all three phases and not being familiar with those matchups, whether it's a critical fourth and one call or whether you want to fake a punt or onside kick in a situation, as a head coach, if you're not familiar with those matchups, it's hard to do a good job of managing the game.
The early part of your resume, you did the coach's life thing where you went to almost a new place. Mm-hmm.
Well, my childhood friends that I still stay in contact with, and they would say this, but I kind of knew what I was going to do when I was 11. You know, I wasn't one of those guys that changed majors, made a life change. I was going to play football as long as I could. Unfortunately, it wasn't as long as John. It stopped after college. And then I was going to be a coach. You know, coaches were big influences on me. You know, I actually wanted to be a high school coach and teacher. So I think one of the things that's helped me is I started at the very bottom. If I told you the school I started at, I'm sure you would never heard of it, but USIU in San Diego in 1979. And I worked for a man even then, Sid Gilman, who was you know, it was a blessing for me to be around him at an early age, and I've just been fortunate. So I think starting from the ground up, knowing all parts, all levels, can broaden your spectrum of things.
You talked about your concepts and beliefs and philosophy, and you mentioned Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll.
Yeah.
Was he perhaps the mentor or guy that had the most influence?
Yeah, I've been blessed. You know, I think, you know, from ownership, coaches, defensive coordinators, players. You know, I've been touched by football people, you know, really most of my life. So I can't really pick one. You know, he's a guy that made a lasting impression, obviously. So did Mr. Rooney. You know, so it's each place I've been, I've taken something from. And, you know, they say you are what you eat, you are what you've been around. And, you know, I've been blessed to be around a lot of great people. You know, I like what I see. I mean, we're not starting from ground zero here. I think there's, you know, obviously areas that we need to improve. The types of skill set, and that's one thing that, you know, Brian and I have talked about as far as, you know, what we're looking for as a coaching staff. Sometimes it's not fair to personnel people. You know, when you change this, change that, you got this guy, now you're trying to plug plug into a square hole and it doesn't work. So we still have a lot of that to do. You know, we'll continue to do that. But, you know, I think our fronts are, like I said, not ground zero.
Coach, Julius Peppers, a lot of years in Carolina. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it obviously hurt the defense a year ago. You know, I've got an old adage, and, you know, as you show me a good coach, I'll show you some good players. And this is a player's game. I think most of the Broncos fans came to see John Elway maybe more than Mike Shanahan in those days, and I think that'd be fair to say. But, you know, it's a player's league, and you know, he's a fantastic player. He brings juice. He creates matchup problems, and I'm looking forward to getting him healthy and getting him back doing that. And
you kept getting snowed in, or however mm-hmm. you want to phrase it. Did you
3 inches of snow in the southeast? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever think that maybe this wasn't meant to happen?
No, actually, we talked about this, and I think it was a blessing in disguise. I'm not so sure if I'd have gotten out here that Monday that I'd be standing here. Now, I'm not so sure I wouldn't be, but I've always been a little bit of a guy of destiny, and maybe the good big guy upstairs was looking out for me.
Did you have any other interviews lined up?
You know, it's really, you know, not fair to say. I can't say. I know this. When I got here and it went the way it did, I wasn't going anywhere but here. Well, as I mentioned before, you know, I think one of my skills, and I have plenty of weaknesses, but has been as a communicator. And whether it be with local media, national media, football players, you know, just anybody I come in contact with, you know, I'm just going to be me. I was me then. I'm going to be me now. And as I mentioned before, I'm not smart enough to be anybody else. You know, I'm going to be as available. I enjoy being around people. And, you know, as long as it's not going to affect the competitive aspects of the game, I'll be as open and as honest and as available as possible.
John, you just said it was a blessing in disguise that maybe you didn't come out here and believe in destiny. Why was it a blessing in disguise? Because you were the last one, or...
I can only speak now being standing here, and I might have felt different if I wasn't standing here, but just looking at it, it's just how I feel.